This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
As you continue to seek earthly things and seek the things that the world seeks, because you're thinking that that water is better than what Jesus has, and what Jesus has for you is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's going to lead and guide you. He has the grace of God that's going to teach you and all these kind of things, but you prefer that other kind of water instead of drinking this living water. And I'm talking about even physical water, you're still going to be thirsting again. He says, but when you drink of Him, then you will never be thirsty again. Praise God.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages. With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace. The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that means to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be studying tonight the book of John chapter 4. You're going to really, really enjoy this. St. John chapter 4. And I want to start off tonight reading it. I want to handle tonight more scripture by scripture because this is pretty, pretty big. John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did, he left Judea and he departed again to Galilee." So now he's on his way where? To Galilee. But he must needs go through Samaria. Now, he didn't go through Samaria because it would make the trip shorter. He said, "I'm on my way to Galilee, but the will of God is for me to go through Samaria." There's a divine appointment there. Now, here's what you got to get as a child of God, is when God instructs you to do something, and that's the will of God for your life, you probably need to do it. Amen?
Amen.
But He will instruct you where, geographically, where to go. I mean, yesterday I was dealing with that, whether I'm supposed to go here, whether I'm not supposed to go there, and He will speak to you. It's not funny, but, and you know, I went to bed last night saying, "All right, God, I need to hear from you. I'm just focused, ready to go to sleep," because I figured God can really speak to me at that time. And he just started pouring out all of these illustrations in the Bible. And in my mind, I had the nerve to say, "Yeah, but Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he says, "I'm talking to you now. I want you to look at these scriptures and see if God is talking to you." He says, "It is the will of God for me to go to Galilee, but do it through Samaria." All right? He says, "Then cometh he to a city of the Samaritans, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied," please note that he was wearied with his journey, "he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of the Samaritan to draw water." Now, let's pause here just for a moment. A couple of things about the Samaritan. Jesus passed through Samaria because it was God's will. to have him interact with a woman there. It was more than the fastest track, like we said, but there was something that was between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. They didn't see eye to eye. There was strong racism there. Now, the deal you have to deal with in every conflict is probably going to be over politics, race, and religion, okay? Those are the three areas of conflict. And there was a huge conflict between Jewish people and Samaritans. They hated one another. And that's even translated all the way up to today. So you didn't see Jewish people mingling with Samaritans and vice versa. But now the issue here is that this woman was not only a Samaritan woman, she was a woman. And in this situation, you're going to find out she offered Jesus a cup of water. Had he taken that cup, they would have viewed him as unclean. So you got to ask yourself, why would you show up at the well to talk to somebody who can mess your reputation up, who could cause you to be unclean? Even the disciples were shocked when they showed up and said, why are you talking to this woman? She's cast out and she's unclean. But Jesus, oh my God, isn't it amazing that God will send his grace to anybody he wants to send it to? Remember, grace is a person. His name is Jesus. And grace showed up in the life of somebody who didn't qualify. Now, later on, we're going to make a comparison between Nicodemus and this Samaritan woman. Because this is John chapter 3, and then right in John chapter 4, he's trying to show us something. Some similarities between those two, and then there were some differences between those two. All right, so he goes on here and he says, verse 7, there cometh a woman of the Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So you get the picture of what's going on here. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God. Now, he was referring to himself. Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus, who is grace, he's the gift of God. He said, if you know it's the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, we're going to break all that down tonight, because I don't know about you, but over and over again, people have taught and preached this, but they've not done it in an area of grace space. So I made some notes. I want to make sure I cover some of this. The Samaritan woman considered ceremonially unclean, which we read there in verse 9. And again, I already said to touch the cup offered to him would have made him unclean. So Jesus had every reason to avoid this woman. You know, you got to watch out, because saved folks will give you every reason to avoid people. They'll say, don't go there. Y'all don't know what they did. Don't go there. Y'all don't know what they're talking about. And we've created a society where it's okay when somebody says, you know, that they're going to, you're going to look bad if you go there. All right. Now watch this. He says, and I want to, before we read into it, let's make this comparison between Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and the Samaritan woman here in John chapter 4. First of all, Nicodemus was a powerful Jewish man who had the potential to validate Jesus's ministry. Okay, you got to understand, yeah, we know who Jesus was now, but back then it was like, you know, he's a prophet, okay? And so he could have validated his ministry, not that Jesus needed it, but Nicodemus was educated, Nicodemus was wealthy, he was respectable and all that kind of stuff. The Samaritan woman, on the other hand, Jesus stood to gain nothing from the interaction with the Samaritan woman. Why would you show up? You will gain nothing. Jesus's reputation could have been lifted up by Nicodemus, while his interaction with this Samaritan woman could have hurt his reputation. And Nicodemus had he had the right ethnicity. He had the right group, the right religion. He had all of the right things of somebody that you would want to hang around. You know, I thought about this the other day. If a famous person got saved, you thought it was a big deal. But if a person who's just out in the street got saved, you wouldn't say nothing about it. Okay, I just mentioned that. Okay? So you got to watch that. You see what I'm saying? Would you go out your way for a famous person that's in a movie, but won't go out your way for somebody that's in the street? We need to check that, okay? And so here's this. Here are the similarities here between Nicodemus and this woman. Now, both situations were inconvenient. Both of them was. Nicodemus showing up late at night. It would be understandable if Jesus said, this is not a good time. It was both inconvenience. Then he interacts with this woman after a long journey, hot, exhausted, thirsty. He could have said, it's not the time right now. Give me a chance to rest a little bit. So in both cases, the similarities were it was an inconvenient time. He's dehydrated, just finished this journey. But Jesus wasn't concerned, listen to me, he wasn't concerned about his reputation, nor was he concerned about his personal comfort. Why? Because both Nicodemus and the woman, they both needed him. Both of them needed Jesus. Both of them needed the grace of God. And Jesus wasn't afraid to show up. Would you be willing to show up if your reputation's on the line? So you're going to have to learn that you're going to be talked about anyway, but you're going to have to make your mind up. You're going to live by grace. Grace shows up in places where most people don't think it should be there. And you got to get ready for that. And I feel like part of my last day ministry is showing up in places where I'm not supposed to be there. If everybody else done kicked you out, called you a dog, messed you up, dogged you out, I'm probably going to be the one God called to say, I need you to go there. Because I'm like he is right now. I don't care nothing about no reputation right now. I don't even care, all right? But what I do care about is that I can be a carrier of God's grace to get it where it's supposed to be. All right, now listen to this. Jesus goes out his way for the Samaritan woman. Now, lots of Christians in today's world are separate. Well, let me say it like this, and I'm not being rude, but people are desperate for validation. Yeah. And I'm not talking about desperate for validation from the church. They're desperate to be validated by the world. You want somebody in the world to validate you. And you're in pursuit of that validation to the point where you might overlook the Samaritan woman type. Okay? And so let's go on here. In verse 10, he starts dealing with this gift of God. And like I said, he says, if you knew the gift of God and he was the gift of God. And so what is he going to be talking about here with this living water? I want to say this and I'll keep reading. Earthly things that you look to for satisfaction will never truly satisfy you. That's the living water, okay? Now, I want to give you an illustration before I continue to read. Most of the people, just like Nicodemus, when he was talking about being born again, they were taking it literally. You got to understand that the setting here. They didn't know what you and I know today. They took it literally. You know, Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus responded, what, do I need to go back into my mother's womb and come out again? He took it literally. Well, the same thing happened with this Samaritan woman. When she's talking about drinking living water, she thought it was, actual water that was coming out of the well. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. See, what he was getting ready to show this woman is that you can drink this literal water and you're going to be thirsty again. It's almost like you're out in the middle of the ocean. You're out in the middle of the sea. Isn't it something? And you're thirsty, surrounded by water you can't drink. And if you're thirsty, surrounded by seawater, and you drink the seawater, then what's going to happen is going to make you more thirsty. And you're trying to consume nothing that won't sustain you, and eventually drinking the seawater, eventually it's going to lead to death. So likewise, as you continue to seek earthly things and seek the things that the world seeks, because you're thinking that that water is better than what Jesus has. And what Jesus has for you is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's going to lead and guide you. He has the grace of God that's going to teach you and all these kind of things. But you prefer that other kind of water instead of drinking this living water. And I'm talking about even physical water, you're still going to be thirsting again. He says, but when you drink of Him, then you will never be thirsty again. Praise God. All right, now let's read on here. I think we got hopefully the foundation of all of that, and I wanted to make sure we got that foundation so we can dig into this. He says, so the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So she's still thinking it's literal. From whence then hast thou that living water? So where's the living water at, okay? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? And basically she knew he was greater because he's got some water better than the water in Jacob's well. And verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, Jacob's water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, I'm going to give him some water that he will never thirst again. I'm going to bring satisfaction. I'm going to bring true satisfaction. And what I have to bring to your life, you're never going to be thirsty again. So I'm not talking about the water in the well, baby. I'm talking about me. I'm here to give you something to end your thirst. Grace has come in your presence. When you're outcast and you're thrown away and you're sitting out here in this well in this hot day and nobody cares anything about you, and I just need you to locate yourself. I need to figure out how to get you to just confess and to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Watch this now. So the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither again. So she already hungry. I want this. Give me this. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband. Look at him. Look at him. Call your husband. See, he's so wise. Call your husband and come hither. All right? And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you got that right. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not your husband. In that saith thou truly. So you spoke the truth. So we're dealing with truth now, all right? You're ready to open up and get some things. So the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's all she knew. That's the only way she could, that's the highest she could know or understand about somebody who did this. I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she's still looking at places. Before Jesus died on the cross, you had to worship here and worship there. But verse 21 said, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, this is it. The hour is coming when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. You worship the Father, because you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour's coming. Now, here's what Jesus was saying. I hadn't died yet. The new covenant hadn't been released yet. So this is a perfect illustration of him fulfilling the law and getting ready for that new and living way. Yeah, I know they go to Jerusalem, and I know they go to that mountain, but oh, you don't understand, boy, the hour is coming where you ain't got to do that no more, because I'm gonna, through my blood, introduce a new and a living way. And then he goes on and he said, for the Father, well, let me go to verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. True worshipers, for the Father seeketh such to worship. People still don't know what that is. You're still trying to make it about music and songs, okay? What happens when Jesus shows up after his death and after the cross, okay? What happens is we can now get born again, and we can now receive the Holy Spirit. Now that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He can now speak to us on what He wants us to do and lead us and guide us. Real worship is the individual that says, all right, Lord, here I am. What do you want to do with me today? Where do you want to take me today? He says, you ain't got to go to no mountain. You ain't got to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to move on the inside of you. And true worshipers are those who are born again as a result of the New Testament, praise God. True worshipers are not somebody, now that's a true worshiper right there because she so can't sing. Now, true worshipers are, first of all, somebody who's born again and they carry the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what he said, out of your belly. So you got to understand the living water is located in your belly. Well, who's in your belly? It's the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you. And out of your belly, living water is going to flow. And you won't have to depend on earthly thing because you're going to have living things flowing out of you. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of you. You're going to have wisdom flowing out of you. You're going to have all these things flowing out of you. And watch, once you get the Holy Spirit and learn how to worship as a true worshiper. True worship, worship Him is, here I am, Lord. Do through me and what you want me to do. Here I am. We don't practice that. We don't practice. You will go right back to worshiping God's slow song. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you'll go right back to it. I heard what he said. But praise God, come on, let's worship God. You don't come to church to worship God. You come to church to be edified. You come to church to be built up. When you leave the church as a result of your being built up, you leave preparing yourself to worship in your everyday lives. But when religion hits in, it starts teaching you all of these little weird fables, and you think you're still thinking your worship is go to the church and worship. That's no different than go to Jerusalem and worship. Go to that mountain and worship. You don't have to go to the dome to worship. You don't have to go to Bible study to worship. You can worship surrounded by a bunch of hellacious sinners asking God, what do you want to do? While they thirsting, you have living water that's going on the inside of you. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I apologize for, you know. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. You see how we take scripture, we just say them over, we don't look at it. We worship Him in spirit, all right? So those are people who are connected to the Holy Spirit, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, who is also called the Spirit of, come on, truth. Okay? And there's so many fables that exist in church that if some of you who were online, I think it was yesterday I was talking about scandalous grace and how people are outraged when they hear the truth about Jesus. See, grace is not a subject. Grace is not the curriculum. Grace is Jesus. So whatever you say, when people say, I don't believe that grace message, you don't believe Jesus. Grace is a person, not a curriculum. He is a person. Jesus is the word wrapped up in grace and truth. Nobody, I was doing some teaching today, and nobody is capable, please listen to me, of delivering the gift of grace to anybody except Jesus.
Discover the distinction between just existing and truly living with Creflo Dollar's transformative series, The Preeminence of Grace versus the Law. This 13-message series shows how believers can access abundant life for a love gift of $39. Order your digital download today. Additional formats are available for the price on your screen, plus shipping and handling. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org.
As a Christian, what happens after you sin? Do you lose your righteousness? God's gift of righteousness gives us peace with Him, not through our works, but through faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. Introducing Grace Life Academy. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access to features like e-courses, study guides, quizzes, and more. To get started on your 30-day free trial, simply text or sign up online by visiting mygracelifeacademy.com.
The 2020 Vision Partner Program at Creflo Dollar Ministries is more than a program. It's a relationship. Designed to make a high impact in your life, our lives, and the lives of millions around the world. Text 2020 Partner to 51555 to become a 2020 Vision Partner today.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
As we wrap up today's broadcast, I'd like to take a moment to pray for you. I don't ever want to take for granted that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's no better way to embark upon a new stage in your life than to enter into a personal relationship with Christ. So if you want to become born again and begin an exciting, intimate relationship with Jesus, pray this prayer with me now. Heavenly Father, come into my heart. Save me. I receive you now by faith, and I declare in Jesus' name that I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.